Next year, I want to go through a very fascinating shaila that I saw in the Haggadah Shal Pesach of Reb Zilberstein that was just recently printed. He has a very beautiful shaila in there, which is very nogeah halacha l'maisa, and has really a lot of very exciting lumdus that comes forth from this shaila. We're going to take the shaila and break it into pieces, but for now, let's just listen out to the shaila, and then we'll go piece by piece going through the how to navigate through such a shaila. Question is as follows. The Mishnah Berurah writes that there seems to be a machlokes achronim, which we'll get into in greater detail in a few minutes, whether one can be yotze sfiras ha'omer through shomea ka'ona. We have a concept of shomea ka'ona. We'll see that in a couple of minutes. But the question is, can one be mekayim the mitzvah sfiras ha'omer through shomea ka'ona? Assuming that one, in a shasat chak specifically, would be allowed to do that. For example, you have a person who is rachmana litzlan in a hospital. He has something in his throat which does not allow him to speak normally. He cannot recite the Sfiras HaOmer on his own. So obviously that individual is going to be mekayim the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer through Shomea Ka'ona. Asked Reb Zilberstein the following shaila. That person who's being mekayim the mitzvah of Shomea Ka'ona by listening to somebody else, is being mekayim the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, must he stand up while he's listening to the other person count Sfira for him? Now this to me is a very fascinating shaila, and we're going to break it down into two components. Component number one is the mitzvah of Shomea Ka'ona as it relates to many different mitzvahs, and then how it relates to Sfiras HaOmer. Component number two that we're going to have is about standing for certain mitzvahs. Why is there a requirement to stand for Sfiras HaOmer at all? And does that requirement carry over to other mitzvahs as well outside of Sfiras HaOmer? Once we see these two things together, we're going to get down to the heart of the issue of what is the geder hadin of Shomea Ka'ona? How much am I considered like I'm saying it when I'm listening to somebody else say it on my behalf? So let's go mehakala lakavit. Number one, we have a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah daf chaf tes amud aleph. We're not up to the source sheet yet. The Gemara says kala brachas kulan afal pishe yatza motzi. Famous Gemara. Even though I am a kaima mitzvah already, I'm still allowed to go ahead and do that again for somebody else. Why can I recite that again for somebody else, even if I was already mekayim my mitzvah? Well, we assume because there's an inyan of arvus, we are all responsible for our fellow Jews to be mekayim the mitzvahs, and since that's the case, my mitzvah, as the Ran says in Rosh Hashanah, my mitzvah is not yet complete if I have not made sure that everybody in the world has been mekayim their chiv. That's the way the Ran explains it. Very fascinating explanation. Therefore, says the Ran, even though I already said my recitation of the mitzvah as I was supposed to, even though I already did what I was supposed to do for the mitzvah, still, since there's some other Jew in the world who didn't yet do his mitzvah, I am not yet complete with my chiyuv. Based on that principle, the Gemara Masechta Sukkah says on Lamed Ches Amud Beis, we also have an inyan of Shomea Ka'ona. Says Rashi, She'eni yodea lo likros v'lo lanos. If you have an individual, let's say, who doesn't know how to say halal, he doesn't know how to say a bracha, he doesn't know how to recite something, so that type of individual, says the Gemara, can be mekayim his mitzvah ayidei shomea ka'ona, as long as he pays attention to somebody else who's making the bracha for him, he can be mekayim his mitzvah. The Vilna Gaon has a diuk in the beginning of Masechta Brachos, where he writes that it seems from a interesting distinction that he makes between a Mishnah and Brachos and a Mishnah and Megillah, it would seem that one is not able to be mekayim the mitzvah of Kriya Shema through the venue of Shomea Ka'ona. If you have a person who's sick, he cannot recite Kriya Shema. For some reason, he would not be allowed to be mekayim his mitzvah through Shomea Ka'ona. And the question is why? Why should Kriya Shema be any different than any other mitzvah that we say?
Does he always have to enunciate it, or can he just think about it?
Kriya Shema?
That's what we're doing.
Yeah, Kriya Shema, you have to recite the words. Yeah, Kriya Shema, you have to say. In fact, the Gemara says in Sota, not only does it have to be with Dibur, it has to be like it's written in the Torah. You have to say it exactly how it's written. You can't translate it. If you don't understand Kriya Shema, you have to say it anyway. You have to say it in Hebrew. So the question is, if it's just a mitzvah that we have, B'dibur, like every other mitzvah Shebedibur, every other bracha, every other mitzvah that we have to recite, why is it that I can't do that mitzvah with the venue of Shomea Ka'ona? So to this, my father explained the following, that Kriya Shema is not simply, it's not merely a mitzvah Shebedibur. Kriya Shema is a lot more than that. Kriya Shema has Kabbalah Shal Malchus Shamayim, Kabbalah Shal Mitzvahs. I can't say that through my reciting of Kriya Shema, you're being a Kabbalah Malchus Shamayim. Through my reciting of Kriya Shema, you're being a Kabbalah Mitzvahs. That's hard to say. If all the mitzvah would have been, would just be to recite the words, so then we can apply the principle of Shomea Ka'ona, because if I recite the words for you, that's what the Gemara has a Chiddush in Sukkah Lamed Ches, that works. But now that we know there's a lot more to the mitzvah than that, now that we know that the mitzvah of saying Kriya Shema is also to be mekabel malchus shamayim, to be mekabel all mitzvahs. Therefore, I would not be able to recite Kriya Shema through the venue of Shema Kohen. I would have to actually say it on my own. Now, let's move forward a little bit to the Magen Avraham. What happens by the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer? Magen Avraham has a suffix in Siman Taf Pei Tes, as we'll see summed up in the Mishnah Berurah in a minute. Magen Avraham has a suffix whether or not I can be mekayim my mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer by listening to somebody else count. What is the yesod of the Shaila here? So says the Mishnah Berurah as follows. Mishnah Berurah sums it up beautifully. If you look there in the Biur Halacha, he has a longer explanation. He gives a lot more of the Biurim from the Rishonim. But here, this is the short version of the Mishnah Berurah himself. Says the Mishnah Berurah, "Dichsevu svartam lachem." Mishnah Berurah writes, "We have a mitzvah that we have to count svira. Mashma sha mitzvah chala al kol yachid v'yachid. Each individual person must count svira on his own. Therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, there are those who believe that I cannot be mekayem a mitzvah of svira saomer by listening to somebody else because I have a mitzvah on my own to recite the svira saomer. V'hine mashma mizet." Says the Mishnah Berurah, it would seem from this. Sfira Se'omer is not simply the same as every other mitzvah where one has to make a recitation with his lips. Kegon, Linin Kiddush, Havdalah Chayotzev, as we know. I can be Mekai in the mitzvah of Kiddush by listening to somebody else. I can be Mekai in the mitzvah of Havdalah by listening to somebody else. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Sfira Se'omer would seemingly be different. Tesham, Imshama Lechaver, Veneskavin Latzeis, Yotzev, as Mishim, Deshamea Ka'onet. Bahacha, however, over here, Gilsa Torah, we have Xeris HaKasav that tells us, De lo yatza kol kama de lo safer la'atzma. Since we darshan, usvartem lachem, each person, sfir l'chol echad be'echad, each individual person must count on his own. Therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, I cannot listen to somebody else. Ava yesh meha achronim. Mishnah Berurah qualifies this and says, there are those achronim who believe, shekasvu de kavanas ha-Torah hu rak, de lo neima de mitzvah zu ha-bezdin kai levad. Says the Mishnah Berurah, there are those who believe when the Torah says Svira l'chal echad v'echad, it doesn't mean each individual person has to actually recite it with his own lips. Rather, it's coming to say that it's not merely a mitzvah on the Bezdin to count on behalf of everyone. There's a mitzvah for everyone to count, but this mitzvah is the same as every other mitzvah, like Kiddush, like Abdullah. Somebody else could count on my behalf. And then the Mishnah Berurah continues and he says it would seem to be a great machlokas achron. The Mishnah Berurah then qualifies this as well and he says that this whole discussion in the Achronim, whether or not one is allowed to count Sfira through the venue of Shema Kona, that is only talking about the counting itself. But with regard to the Bracha, says the Mishnah Berurah, I don't see any difference between this Bracha and every other Bracha in the world. The same way Kiddush, one is able to be Motzi, his friend, so too over here, with regard to the Bracha of Sfira Sa'omer, one would be allowed to make the Bracha for his friend. As we know, if you miss a day, someone else can make the Bracha for you and you just listen, correct? So therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, we assume that one would be certainly be yotze the bracha by the venue of Shema Kona. The whole suffix in the Achronim is only talking about the counting per se. And then the Mishnah Berurah ends off one last line. Amna minig b'chol Yisrael, says the Mishnah Berurah, the minig as we know it is, shekol echad mevarech v'sofer la'atzmo v'ein somchan al ha-shliach tzibur. Says the Mishnah Berurah, the minig as we know it is, that everyone tries as much as he can to count on his own, unless obviously you have some extenuating circumstance. As we just said, when we have a chole, and he's not able to speak at all, obviously the best case scenario would be he should be yotze b'diyeved, like those achronim that say you're allowed to be yotze b'shomer ka'ona. But l'chatchila, we would tell a person not to be mekayim his mitzvah in that fashion. Now, let's get down to the heart of the issue of the din shomer ka'ona. There's a famous... So the Mishnah Berurah says there... Right, the Mishnah Berurah says in the Bir Halacha, he's mayrich in this a lot, you'll look at it later in Taf Peites, over there it would seem that the minig is that we try to do everything on our own. Unless, obviously, a person doesn't know how to make a bracha, or a person missed a day and he has to listen to somebody else, that's a different case. But, says the Mishnah Berurah, lechatchila, we try as much as we can, that everybody should make the bracha and count svira on their own. And there is, there's just... Right, I just want to add one more reason why we try to be machmer like this, is because some Rishonim believe that part of the svira is that the bracha and the svira is one long thing. Some Rishonim write, they didn't answer amen until after, right, we have the minig, we answer amen, al svira somer, amen, then the person counts. Some Rishonim said that they had the practice not to answer amen until the end of the sentence, hayom yom, whatever it is.
They had to merge the bracha.
Right. Shehayom. They used to say shehayom, that it seems to be that it's one long sentence to say the bracha and then to count the svira. would seemingly be one long sentence. So therefore, we try to be fulfilling as many opinions as we can. So therefore, l'chatchila, we all try to make our own bracha, and we all try to count our own sphere. Now, what is the Geder HaDin of Shomea Ka'ona in general? This is a very famous topic. I just want to describe it a little bit, because we're going to explain that there's major mistakes in the way the Olam HaYeshivas generally says this over. It's a very nuanced shot here, but it's something that we need to be very careful to understand in the proper way. There is a machlokas, Rashi and Tosas, very famous machlokas from Rashi and Tosas in Sukkah Lamed Ches, which goes as follows. What happens if I'm in the middle of Shmona Esrei, and the Chazan is speeding ahead, and he gets up to Kedusha? What am I supposed to do? So we all know, we stop. Person stops at Shmona Esrei, keeps his finger on the place, listens to the Chazan, and with the principle of Shemei Ka'ona, he's Yotze his mitzvah of answering Kedusha, and then I go back to where I'm up to. He doesn't say anything. Just listens. That's the way we pass in Shulchan Aruch. Ask Tosis on Rashi, what do you mean?
It's a hefsek.
It's a hefsek. How can I listen in the middle of Shemona Esrei? If you're going to say Shemei Ka'ona, if you're going to say that listening is just like I'm saying it myself, how in the world am I allowed to stop in the middle of Baruch Aleinu and listen to the Chazan recite Kedusha? Shouldn't that constitute a hefsek in the middle of my Shemona Esrei? So in the Olam HaYeshivas, they explain that this seems to be a very interesting machlokas b'yisod advarim, what exactly Shomea Ka'ona really means. Halacha l'maisa, just to make this clear, in Shulchan Aruch we paskin like Rashi, one should just be quiet, listen to the Chazan recite the Kedusha, and then continue with his own private Shemona Esrei. Rabbeinu Yonah writes that since this is such a great machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos, he says, we don't know how to be machriya such a machlokas, he says that da'avid k'mar avid, da'avid k'mar avid. Person can do whatever he wants. My father said that recently, when this happens to him, he gets very confused where he was up to and where he wasn't up to. So he said he stopped listening. If this happens to him, he said he stopped listening because he couldn't pay attention anymore where he left off. And that's a bigger problem, to get lost in the middle of Shemona Esrei. But if a person is able to pay attention, how he remembers everything else, and then he can't remember where he's up to in Shemona Esrei, is beyond me. I don't know.
What?
Mila davening is a separate discussion. In different parts of davening? Different parts. So that's for another time. After Baruch Hu is another question.
Why is there a hefsek between a hefsek verbally and a hefsek emotionally?
So that's exactly what we're going to hit on. So here we go. Rabbi Yosef Engel writes famously in his Tiyunim LaTorah, I put it on the sheet number Beis because it's important for us to see the nuance and how the Acharonim understood this Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Says Rabbi Yosef Engel as follows. What is the Yesod HaDvarim? What are they disagreeing about? Rashi and Tosfos, what's the discussion here? Says Rabbi Yosef Engel, it's not just about a side topic about Kedusha, listening to Kedusha in the middle of Shemona Esrei. It's a much bigger issue. It gets down to the heart of what the din of Shemei Ka'ona is really all about. Says Rabbi Yosef Engel as follows. Michulak and Bazet. Rashi and Tosfos are disagreeing here. Ihad Shemei Ka'ona. What is the definition of Shemei Ka'ona? When I'm listening to somebody else recite something on my behalf, Hakavana dehavi ke'ona bidiburo. When I'm listening to somebody else, does it make it as if I'm saying it on my own? Or is it no? Oh, hakavana rak shadino ke'ona. It's just a chiddush. The way Rav Asher Weiss explained it was as follows. Rav Asher Weiss liked to say this in a little different phraseology, but he said that, do we look at Shomea Ka'ona as I am actually saying it myself? Or do we look at it that no, there are two ways of being Mekayim a mitzvah. One way to be Mekayim it is by saying. Another way to be Mekayim it is by listening. When I have a mitzvah b'dibur, the most obvious way to be Mekayim that mitzvah is to say it. The second way to say it is to listen to somebody else say it on my behalf. That is the way Rabbi Yosef Engel and many, many Achronim explain this Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi understands the Din Shomea Ka'ona actually means what? It's as if I said it. Not literally, just I'm a kai my mitzvah by the way that I listen to somebody else saying it, that is good enough for me. As if there are two ways of being a kai my mitzvah sheva dibur, either by saying it or by listening. Rashi understands, by listening is good enough. I'm a kai my mitzvah. And therefore, says Rashi, that's not a hefsek in the middle of Shemona Esrei. It's not like I talked in the middle. That's fine. I can listen in the middle of Shemona Esrei to the Chazan saying Kedusha. With that, I'm a kai my mitzvah. Tosfos, on the other hand, understands, when we apply the principle of Shomea Ka'ona, it is considered as if I actually spoke. And therefore, says Tosfos, if a person is going to take a break in the middle of a Shemona Esrei to listen to the Chazan say, it's as if he was mafsik in the middle, b'dibur. That's the way Tosfos understands. That is the way many of the Achronim explain the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Along these same lines, we find a very famous Machlokas, the Beis Halevi and the Chazon Ish, with regard to a chiddush that Rabbi Tzalon HaKohen Mivilna has in his Sefer Reishis Bikur. Very famous story that he went to Italy once. He says that he went to Trieste, and he gets to the neighborhood. Rabbi Tzalon HaKohen Mivilna, as we know him, was a Kohen. So he walks into the shul in Trieste in Italy, and they say, well, could we be mechabe, the famous Rav Rabbi Tzalon HaKohen Mivilna, to duchen on our behalf? So he looks at all and he says, what are you talking about? I should duchen on your behalf? Where I come from, everybody gets up to duchen. What's happening here? So he got into a whole discussion whether or not it's possible to be mekayim the mitzvah of duchening ayidei shamei kohanim. Great idea. Instead of having all the kohanim off key, one guy singing this niggin, one guy singing the other one, why don't we send one chazan up, one person on behalf of all the kohanim, we'll send one kohen up, and he will duchen on behalf of all the kohanim in the room. Great idea. Well, it says the Beis Halevi as follows. Look at number Gimel. Very fascinating Beis Halevi, which seems to be, the way the Chazon Ish misunderstood the Beis Halevi, it would seem to be that this is the same discussion as Rashi and Tosas, the way Rabbi Yosef Engel explained it. Let's look at the Beis Halevi's words himself. It says the Beis Halevi on Chumash in the end of Sefer Bereishis, Masha Amar Chachamecha beBirchas Kohanim. Someone once suggested, said the Beis Halevi, that in Birchas Kohanim, when it comes to Nesias Kapayim, Kohen Echad Yachal Lomar Birchas Kohanim, one Kohen can get up and be the Chazon on behalf of all the Kohanim, Ushariya Kohanim Yishmu, and everyone else will listen and be Mekayim the Mitzvah through the venue of Shomea Kohanim. Hinei, says the Beis Halevi, Hayamakum Lomar Kane, if one would assume that you can be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Shomea Kohanim by Birchas Kohanim, Hayimarvichim Azelefarish Lashana Mishnah Bebesechas Megillah Chavdalit. He says we always had a difficulty understanding the Mishnah in Megillah Daf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph, because the Mishnah tells us as follows: Hamafter Benavi, the one who has the schus to get maftir, goes ahead and continues with his schus. Poros Alashma, he davens for the Amud, but who knows his kapav? He duchens. What do you mean he duchens? We never understood what this Mishnah means. He duchens. Everybody duchens. If he happens to be a Kohen and he gets maftir, he has the schus to duchen. Doesn't everybody duchen? Says the Beis Halevi, well, if you assume that there is a principle of Shomea Kohanim by duchening, maybe you can explain that Mishnah as follows, that one person used to stand up in front of the shul, one kohen, they're mechabed him to be the one to duchen on behalf of all the kohanim. And he would be motzi them in their chiyuv of nesias kapayim. That's the way the Beis Halevi writes, that according to this idea of the people in Trieste in Italy, now we understand this Mishnah in Megillah Daf Chaf Dalet. However, he says, Ikar advarim lo nahira klal, says the Beis Halevi, it's absolutely impossible to say such a chiddush that you can be mekayim the mitzvah of duchening with the venue of Shomea Kohanim. Why? To Shomea Kohanim rak shayach rak bedavar de'ein tzarech bo ela amira l'chuda, says the Beis Halevi. We can only apply the principle of Shomea Kohanim when a person has to listen to kiddush or a person has to say havdalah. So there's a mitzvah that I have to speak. If somebody else speaks on my behalf, that's good enough. However, Bebirchas Kohanim, the Tzarech Kol Ram, Ka'adam Ha'omer L'Chaveiro. Bebirchas Kohanim, the way people misunderstand it, again, we're talking about the misunderstanding in the Beis Halevi. People think you have to scream Bebirchas Kohanim, right? Everyone thinks Kol Ram means you got to scream out loud, even if there's no one in the shul, little shtiebel. People think you got to scream, correct? We've all heard this? People screaming Bebirchas Kohanim. So people think the Din Kol Ram means you have to scream. Says the Beis Halevi, well, if you're screaming, it can't be considered like I'm screaming. Right? Says the Beis Halevi, a very interesting point. The only time we can apply the principle of Shomea Kohanim is in a case where all that's necessary is the words to be recited. All that we need to do is for you to say the words of Kiddush. Someone else says it on my behalf, good enough. But if there's an added tonight, if there's an added component, such as Kol Ram, by Birchas Kohanim, you have to say it out loud. Well, that added component, you can't say that it's as if this Kohen said it out loud. He's not here. You can assume that it's like he said it, but you can't assume it's like he said it out loud. That's what the Beis Halevi is Mechadish. Now, if you look in the Chazon Ish, which is number Dalet, has a very difficult time understanding this Beis Halevi. Let's look at the Chazon Ish together. It says the Chazon Ish in Arachaim Simon Chav Tes Siv Katan Gimel. He says, well, I'm not sure the Beis Halevi is correct. I'm not sure the Beis Halevi's understanding is correct at all. Why? Says the Chazon Ish as follows. Hare, din Shomea Kohanim, ena kavana duhu yotze behashmia greida. You can't say that Shomea Kohanim means that I'm listening to somebody else and that's what's helping me to be mekayim my chiyuv. Dehashmia atzma hi kedibur behashiva min mi min hadibur vehu kemevarech beatzmo. Rather, says the Chazon Ish, elo dehadibur shel hamashmia misyaches lishmoa biyotze bidibur shel hamashmia. says the Chazon Ish, the same way Rabbi Yosef Engel explained the Machlokas Rashi and Tosus, whether or not a person should be quiet and listen to the Chazon recite Kedusha in the middle of his quiet Shemona Esrei, what was that based on? Rabbi Yosef Engel explained, it was based on the heart of the issue of Shemei Kaona. Is it considered like I'm actually speaking? Or is it just a din that I'm a Kaim HaMitzvah even though I didn't speak at all? Well, says the Chazon Ish, I believe, like the second understanding, that when one is being Mekayim HaMitzvah through Shomea Ka'ona, he is not, in fact, actually speaking. We just consider it as if you are Mekayim the Mitzvah. And he says, with this I disagree with the Beis HaLevi, because if that is in fact the case, then we should assume that anything you are doing on my behalf is considered like I'm Mekayim the Mitzvah. And so what that there's a Mitzvah of Kol Ram? So what that by Nisias Kapayim there's an added component that you have to scream it out loud? What does that make a difference? If you are being Mekayim the Mitzvah and I'm just listening, that should carry over to me with all the dinim that are necessary. Everything should carry over. And the Chazon Ish proves it. He says, what's going to be by Kiddush? Does everyone in your house make Kiddush on their own? No. Generally, we have one person makes Kiddush on behalf of everyone. Well, we have a Mitzvah by Kiddush that you have to hold a cup of wine, correct? So how is everyone around the table, according to the Beis HaLevi, how is everyone around the table going to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Kiddush? Don't we know there's an added component of holding a cup of wine? And even though you might assume that it's as if each person is actually speaking, but each person is not actually holding a cup of wine.
Wait, is that ma'akif?
Oh, so you're saying, is that ma'akif? So...
There's only one cup.
What?
You can pass it
around. No, but maybe each person should have his own. So you're saying it's not ma'akif. That's... You have to do it on something. Let's say by Dalet Kosos, right? Or let's say, take another example. Says the Chazon Ish, he asks another question. He says, let's say by Kriyas HaMegillah, right? We have, everybody listens to one Chazon who lanes, one Balkari lanes the Megillah. Well, says the Chazon Ish, if you look in the Gemara Megillah, don't we know? The Gemara tells us clearly that you have to read it from the Megillah itself. You can't just read from a printed Chumash. You have to read from a cloth. Well, if I'm being Yotze the Mitzvah of Shomea Ka'one, listening to the Megillah by someone else reading on my behalf, and I understand, like the Beis HaLevi said, that it's as if I'm actually reciting the words on my own, just the other outside Tanoim can't carry over. Well, if that's the case, how am I ever Mekayim the Mitzvah of Mikra Megillah? One second, let me just flesh this out. If I'm listening to somebody else read for me, you can carry that over and say that it's as if I'm saying it myself. But how is it as if I'm reading it myself? How is it as if I'm reading it from the text? I'm not. So ask the Beis HaLevi, ask the Chazon Ish, according to the Beis HaLevi's understanding, he thinks he's absolutely wrong, because the Chazon Ish himself understands that any time we have the principle of Shomea Ka'ona, not only do we say that the wording, that the dibur itself, that the mouthing itself carries over to the other individual, we assume that all that comes along with it, all that's necessary to be Mekayim that mitzvah, also is carried over. That means, when I'm listening to Mikra Megillah, says the Chazon Ish, when I'm listening to Mikra Megillah, not only do I carry over your voice, I also carry over the fact that you're reading Mitoch HaKsav. When I'm making Kiddush, I carry over the fact as if I'm holding a cup of wine also. Everything carries over. Not like the Beis HaLevi's Kiddush, which was that by Nesias Kapayim, by Duchening, it's not possible to have a Shomea Ka'ona because you cannot sufficiently fulfill the requirement of Kol Ram.
Maybe this is what he... I would think that there's a mitzvah on every coin to be borrowed the Kabbalah.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my other answer well. So it's not an English
Shomei. Oh, very good, very good. So we're going to get to this interpretation later, which is, it's a very nuanced point. That's why I just want to make this clear first. So that's the way we started. I just want to point out this is a misunderstanding of the Beis HaLevi. The Chazon Ish is misunderstanding the Beis HaLevi clearly, as Reb Chaim tells us as well. It was a misunderstanding of the whole Beis HaLevi, and that's where all these kashas come from. The Netziv also adds his own kasha. He says, well, Parsha Zachar, we all have a chiyuv to read Parsha Zachar from the Sefer Torah, right? But each one of us just listens to the Baal Kol Reh. Well, you have to read it from the Sefer Torah, so how am I Mekayim the Mitzvah? According to the Beis HaLevi, all it's considered is as if I'm saying the words, but we don't carry over everything else. Well, if that's the case, how am I ever Mekayim the Mitzvah any year of Maisa, Zechiris Maisa Amalek? That is...
Maybe
the kash of the Netziv.
Maybe that's just the din in the Shmiya of it, not in the Kriya. Doesn't say that you have to lane. Everybody has to lane Parsha Zachar.
I mean, we assume the Chiyav is to read it, to say it.
No, it I don't know where it says Zohar to look.
Zohar means Bepeh. The Ramban says Zohar
so
is Bepeh.
It doesn't mean that Jack, so somebody can read it.
No, but Bepeh means you have to read it. What do you mean? If let's say 1 year we decide we're just going to read Zohar from a Chumash. I don't know. There was a lot of question this year. I'm not in a position to say anything against what Rabbi Feiner told us this year, but there's a serious question about an announcement that was made in shul this year. By Parsha Zachar in the shul, there was an announcement made that everyone should read from their own chumash along to be mekayim the mitzvah of Zachar. That is very objectionable. It's a very questionable suggestion. Because, what? Megillas Esther is different. Over here we have a mitzvah d'oraisa to read from the klaf. If I go ahead and read from my own chumash, I'm about to the mitzvah of Zechiras Maisa Amalek. That's a very serious question. Very serious question. And Megillah as well. We tell people not to lane along from your chumash. We tell people only lane along if you have your own Megillah. Why? Because we paskin by Megillah that even if you only read most of the words from the text, that's good enough. So therefore we say, so say it from your chumash. But by Zechiras Maisa Amalek, you have to hear every single word mitoch haksav. So to make an announcement that everybody should read along in their chumash has a lot of room to question that assumption. It's just something to keep in mind for next year. Okay. Anyway, so the Meshuv Davar, the Netziv, asks yet another question against the Beis Halevi, and this seems to be a very strong question. Says the Netziv, if you look in the Mishnah Bikurim, Paragimel Mishnah Zayin, number Hey, how are we up to number Hey if we just started? Okay, says the Mishnah Bikurim as follows. Barishona, in the original days, when people used to bring Bikurim, Barishona, Kol Mishayadea Likros Kore. Everybody, we know there's an institution of Mikra Bikurim. Anyone who brings Bikurim has to recite certain psukim. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Sota, Daf Lamed Beis on Beis, that Mikra Bikurim has to also be said, Bikol Ram, Va'anisa Ve'amarta. You have to say it out loud, just like by Duchening. You have to say it out loud. Well, says the Mishnah, look at this. Says in the Tziv, I'm a Furshah Mishnah, not like a Beis Halevi. Why? The Mishnah says, in the early days, Kol Mishia De'alikros Koret. Anyone who came up with Bikurim and knew how to read, he wasn't Amma Aretz, so he said the psukim on his own. But later, Kol Mishia De'alikros Makrin Oso, anyone who didn't know how to read, we used to say it for him. However, Nimnu Milahavi, people were so embarrassed that the Kohen had to sit there and read it for them, so they stopped bringing Bikurim. So the Mishnah realized that this was an issue, and now the Mishnah came up with an Eitzah. We'll have the Kohen read for everybody. Even if everybody knows how to read, the Kohen is going to say it on everyone's behalf. Now, big discussion, says the Netziv, big discussion in the Rishonim, did the Balabas recite it over after the Kohen said it to him? Right? You have by a chuppah nowadays also. The Masada Kiddushin always says, Harei at Mekudesh Asli. He tells the chassan what to say in order that we shouldn't embarrass the chassan that doesn't know what to say. But the chassan has to make sure to say it. Right? The chassan has to make sure to say it. But that's... Okay? Right? You don't want that the rabbi should be Mekadosh the woman. You want that the chassan should be Mekadosh the isha. So, over here, there's a big discussion in the Rishonim. Did the Balabas, who's bringing the Bikurim, did he recite the Psukim again after the Kohen said them to him? Or did he just rely on Shomei Ka'ona? So the Netziv is assuming, like those Rishonim that say, that he relied on the Kohen. Kohen says the Psukim for me. I'm Yotzi with Shomei Ka'ona. Move on with life. Asks the Netziv, if the Beis Halevi is correct, that any time we have an outside principle of Kol Ram, or any outside Tanai for that matter, you cannot apply the principle of Shomei Ka'ona. Well, here I have a Mishnah that says Beferish, not like the Beis Halevi. I have a case of Shomer Ka'ona by a mitzvah that one has to recite B'kol Ram, and yet I'm Mekayim my whole mitzvah by means of somebody else. So what is going on with this Beis Halevi? So let's put all this on the side for now. Let's talk about portion number two of the Shiloh that we started with. Chelek Beis of the Shiloh was, what is the story with standing by Sfiras HaOmer? And then after we talk about this, we'll put the two portions together and explain what's going on here. In Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tav Pei Tes, we are told that one has to count Sfiras HaOmer standing. Says the Mishnah Berurah, if a person b'diyevet counts b'yeshiva, he's yotze. But l'chatchila, obviously, he's supposed to stand. Where does all this idea come from? Why is one supposed to stand when he says the bracha of Sfiras HaOmer? So if you look in Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim Siman Ches, Sif Aleph, that's in Hilchas Tzitzis, we are told, one is supposed to put on his tzitzis while he is in a standing, in an erect position. Says the Mishnah Berurah there, one has to stand when he puts on his tzitzit. Why? Hatifa mishem zechziv lachem. It says, Asu, no, where's Zeh Lachem? Forgetting, okay. The Alpinim Zeh Rishav and the Omer, the Siv Gam Kein Lachem. Uba Omer Siv Mehachel Chemrish Bekama, Tachel Lisper, Al Tikre Bekama, Ela Bekoma. Fine, so it says the Mishnah Berurah, one has to stand when he makes the bracha, and we learn this out from Sviras Omer. And what's going on with Sviras Omer? What do we know about Sviras Omer? So the Urayim says, what? Hay Lachem Letzitzis. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I didn't remember. It was V'haya Lachem Letzitzis. So the Mishnah Berurah says that from V'haya Lachem Letzitzis, we learn out. Lachem, it says by Tzitzis. Lachem, it says by Sviras Omer. So you have to stand by both of them. Now what's this Sviras Omer part? What do we know about Sviras Omer? Well, the Sefer Yerayim writes that we have some sort of Gzeirah Shavah that says Lachem, Lachem. He says, I have no idea where this comes from. What? Svartim Lachem, yeah. But how do you know by Sviro that it has to stand? Where does this come from? Yerayim says, I don't know what the mucker of this is from. I don't know what's going on. Tarat Mimon Chumash writes the same thing. However, the later Achronim point out that it is a Medrash. The Medrash says as follows. I ran out of room here, so the Medrash tells us as follows. Bakama Tacha Lispar. Says the Medrash, Al Tikra Bakama Ela Bakoma. Don't say that the word in the Pasuk is Bakama, rather the word is Bakoma, which means standing. Mikan, says the Medrash, She'em Evarchan Al Sfir Somer Ela Me'umad. Now the Kesef Mishnah and the Prima Gadim both learn that this is Gzeirah Shavah D'Oraisa. Means Midaraisa, a person has to stand when he counts Sfirah. And the Achronim add on to this a whole list of other mitzvahs that we learn out you also have to stand for. For example, there's no lechatchila b'diavad by deraisa. It's a question. It's a question. But it would seem the Achronim, the Bir Agra there in Shulchan Aruch Siman Tes in Or Chaim, Hilchos Tzitzis, points out, he says, the siman to remember which mitzvahs you need to stand for is Atzos Hashem La'olam Tamod. Atzos Hashem La'olam Tamod stands for the following. Atzas, Ayin stands for Oz, which we know is Tefillin. When a person puts on his Tefillin, he has to stand. Tzadi is Tzitzis, like the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Ches says. Where do we know that from? Because V'hayi Lachem L'Tzitzis. What? Torah. Tzkiyah, he says. Tzkiyah is Shofar, because it says, Yom Tshuah Yiyah Lachem. Then he says, Lulav, because it says, Ulakachtem Lachem. Mila, because it says, Himol Lachem. And Kiddush Levana, because it says Hachodesh Hazeh Lachem. So in all these examples, he says the way to remember it is Atzas Hashem La'olam Tamud. Atzas, again, Ayin Sadi Tav stands for
stands
what?
Not everybody stands by
its
bill. Oh,
the Shel Yad.
The Shel Yad, but the Shel Rosh, everybody stands for. That's a good point.
Shofar, the Ikra Shel is the Yushel.
Oh no, Tkiyas to Miyushav. The Balamar writes himself. Oh, let's not make this mistake. A very good point. Tkiyas to Miyushav doesn't mean tkiyas while everyone's sitting. Tkiyas to Miyushav, the Balamar writes, means
the
chaos. No,
it's not during Amidah.
It's not during Amidah. He says it's when there's decorum in the shul. Tkiyas to Miyushav is when everyone's sitting in their place because no one's running out of shul. As opposed to those who say that you should blow the shofar at the end of davening when everyone's running out already. That's not Miyushav. That's pandemonium. It's by the kiddush time already. So that's what Tkiyas to Miyushav means. It doesn't mean everyone's sitting. Fine, so we have these six examples where everybody has to stand when you are being mekayim these mitzvahs. The Aruch HaShem, in fact, writes, it's not just by these six cases. Says the Aruch HaShem, quoting the Bis Yosef, that you have to stand by all the mitzvahs that you're being mekayim. Why? Why do you have to stand by all the mitzvahs? Says the Aruch HaShem, because it says, Lamo Desharis. By a Kohen, he's being makriv a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. It says, Lamo Desharis. He has to stand up when he's doing avodah. Says the Aruch HaShem, what's our avodah b'zman hazeh? How do we serve the Ribbono Shel Olam b'zman hazeh? Obviously, by the venue of b'mekayim mitzvahs. Therefore, says the Aruch HaShem, it's not just that you have to stand by these six mitzvahs because it says lachem. You have to stand by all mitzvahs because all mitzvahs are considered a form of sheiros. Now,
I can make that from Beis HaMikdash, and nobody was allowed to sit in Beis HaMikdash.
Right? No, but there's let's say to stand on something else. Lama Desharis means you have to be standing on the floor of the Azar. That's a... Or let's say there is a way, the Gemara says in Sota, that there is a way of shechting a karbon, even though I'm standing outside the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says, for example, I have the longest knife ever created in the world, and I stand all the way outside. Right, but let's say I'm outside. You're allowed to sit outside the Beis HaMikdash. So let's say I figure out how to shech my carbon from all the way outside. Do I have to stand while I'm doing that or not? What?
The melech was allowed to
only the melech.
Right, but that, there's an
exception.
Okay.
But he didn't just go back to the point. It's not absolute.
Okay.
No, but he didn't do the melech.
Okay. So let's look at a couple of these examples that we gave where certainly all the Acharonim assume that you have to stand. One of those examples is Kiddush Levana. Now, the Bir Agra says, we learn our Kiddush Levana from the fact that it says, Lachem. Right? What does it say about Kiddush Levana? HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. So therefore the Bir Agra says one has to stand when he recites Kiddush Levana. Now, there's a big discussion, what is the real mocker for standing by Kiddush Levana? The Bir Agra tells us over here it's because it says, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. If you look in the Gemara, in fact, if you look in the Nusach of Kiddush Levana as we know it, what does it say there? Why do you have to stand? Because the Braisa says, once a month we have a special schus to be Mekabel Pnei HaShechina, and since by Kiddush Levana we're Mekabel Pnei HaShechina, therefore we have to stand up. Hilkoth Tzarech Lemeimer Mumad. I remember as a child, I always used to say Kiddush Levana with my father after Ma'ariv. So every single month without fail, every month he would ask me the same question. Nu, what do you think? Do you have to stand when you say Kiddush Levana? So I was always like, I don't know, interesting question. Not sure. And he said, Nu, look into it. And this took me like years and years to look into until he realized that I finally understood the words of Kiddush Levana and I understood that Hilkach Tzarech Lemeimer Mu'umad means one has to stand when he says Kiddush Levana. So then he never asked again. But be it as it may, we have a steer here. What's the official reason for standing by Kiddush Levana? Is it because it says Lachem? Or is it because it's Kabbalah Pnei HaShechina? So that's one example.
Cry from Kiddush Levana to HaKadosh HaZeh Lachem. That's a din in the Besdin.
Yeah.
That's a din in just the Rabbanan about.
So you're saying this is just a smach. Just a smach, yeah. Now by Bris Mila, we said it says, Hima Lachem Kol Zachar, which also means, the Bir Agra said, that also means you have to stand by the Bris Mila. So the Prima Gadim says that for this reason.
Not the baby.
That's exactly what we're going to mention. The Prima Gadim says that for this reason, the Sandik is not allowed to be the Moel. I would have other reservations for making the Sandik the Moel, but, says the Prima Gadim, the Sandik is not allowed to be the Moel because it says, Lachem, and you have to stand up when you're doing it. Sandik has to sit to make sure he doesn't drop the baby. So therefore, says the Prima Gadim, the Sandik is not able to serve as both the Sandik and the Moel. However, we do know the Chut HaMashulash, the official biography of Rabbi Kiva Eger, writes that Rabbi Kiva Eger all the time, and in Hasidic circles, I think this is certainly true. The Rebbes very often are the Sandik and the Moel at once. How they do it, I'm not sure. But the Chut HaMashulash writes that Rabbi Kiva Eger did this all the time. He was the Sandik and the Moel at once. Well, doesn't say, Hima Lachem Kol Zachar. How is one allowed to do it if he's not standing up? He has to sit because he's holding the baby. So the Marsham writes the following, that the whole reason why a person has to stand by these mitzvahs is because you have to show chashivas to the mitzvah. You have to stand up when you're doing it to show chashivas. Well, if a person is so into mitzvahs that he wants to be the Sandik and the Moel at once, he doesn't want to give up anything, I'm showing how much I value the mitzvahs. I'm showing that the reason I'm sitting down is because I don't want to give up on a mitzvah. Therefore, says the Marsham, this was the rationale of many Hasidic Rebbes for being the Sandik and the Moel at the same time. And even though they're sitting at the time of the Mila, that would not be looked at as any sort of problem. Kiddush, yeah.
By the beginning, Kiddush, you stand because it's anus, but then afterwards you're supposed to sit, or some people have learned to sit, but it's amidst. So
the Achronim say that Kiddush, Matzah, Maror, and Sukkah, why do we sit by all those?
This is
Sukkah. Oh, so the Achronim say, because we are going to be Kovei Suda by sitting down. So if you're going to stand up first and then have to sit, so then that's not going to be a hemshech of a suda. You have to sit and show that you're kaveh suda, that the kiddush is a part of the meal. And therefore we do the kiddush sitting down. And therefore also we do matzah and maror and sukkah. We do all these mitzvahs sitting down specifically to show that we're having a kviya suda with this bracha incorporated in the suda. By kriya satora, it's a whole discussion as well. The Gemara seems to tell us that one has to stand when he's leaning. And the question is, Bizman Azeh, when we have people in wheelchairs who can actually make it to shul, are we allowed to give them aliyahs or not? That's a big question. Obviously, the Psak Halacha L'maisa, as we all know, is that it's permissible. But it's a whole long discussion. What exactly is the story with Kriyas HaTorah? And what about for those of us listening to Kriyas HaTorah? Do we have to stand during Kriyas HaTorah? Are we allowed to sit during Kriyas HaTorah? Whatever it is. But let's get back to where we began. When it comes to Sfiras HaOmer, again, the Magen Avraham said,
Rambam says he sits at Pesach.
Rambam says he sits, right. Okay.
Because he talks about standing only for, like, Seres Hadibros.
Right.
So it must be that they sat.
They sat, right. Time. Yeah. I mean, there is another discussion, let's say, by Duchening. So we know that you have to stand up by duchening. The Gemara darshins in Sotel Amud Ches that you have to stand up when you duchen. So what happens if you have an old kohen who is in a wheelchair or someone who's not able to stand up? So what's the halacha in that case? Is yeah. So there is a machlekes Tosis and the Rambam that the Shvus Yaakov quotes. There's a machlekes Tosis and the Rambam whether the standing by Birchas Kohanim is ma'akev or not. Is it just a nice thing lechatchila? Or do we say it's even the Yikuvah? La halacha we pask in the Mishnah Berurah Reish Chafei in Hilchos Nesiyas Kapayim that a kohen zaken who's not able to stand up should not duchen. That being the case, someone just called with a shiloh right before Pesach. He wanted to know, he's an old kohen, he can't duchen. And he's following the Pesach of the Mishnah Berurah that a person who can't stand up, Nebuch, is not able to duchen anymore. So he wants to know, what should he do? Is he allowed to stay in shul or not? So my father thought that it was improper. He thought he should walk out for when they... by Ritzay, he should walk out by Ritzay and then come back in before duchening begins. Because what? Maybe it could be Mekayim Mitzvah Shemei Kona. But that brings us to our next point. Thank you. That brings us directly into our next point, which is the following. Let's get back to Sfiras Omer. Let's put all this that we said back together. We had 2 days in the Mishnah Berurah whether one could be Mekayim Mitzvah Sfiras Omer through Shavei Kona. Let's assume lechatchila one obviously should not. B'diyevet, when you have the sick person who cannot say it on his own, obviously, b'diyevet, he could be mekayim his mitzvah through the venue of Shamei HaKohanim. Now, the shayla we started with was, must I stand when I'm listening to somebody else count Sfira on my behalf? Do I also have to stand up? Or do we say, no, just the person who's reciting the Sfira Sa'omer on my behalf, he has to stand. But I personally do not have to stand up as well. This could be very nogei la'alocha, because if you have a sick person who's able to stand up with difficulty, should we be matriach him to actually stand up when he's listening to somebody else count Sfira for him? So let's just go over quickly what the machlokas, as we originally mentioned, the machlokas Rashi and Tosas that Rabbi Yosef Engel quoted, the machlokas Beis Halevi and Chazanish, and we'll see how it plays into this.
And then blowing shofar for somebody who's in a hospital, in a nursing home, they're sitting, they're lying down, they're blowing for them.
Also, right? Same shaila. So again, we quoted, there's a machlokas Rashi and Tosas. If a person's in the middle of Shemona Esrei, is he allowed to be quiet and listen to the chazan? And that will be considered a Shamei HaKohanim or not? That was a machlokas Rashi and Tosas. The Rabbi Yosef Engel explained that the machlokas is based on how do you understand Shamei HaKohanim at all? Do we understand Shamei HaKohanim as if I am saying it myself? That's what Tosas understood, and therefore since I'm reciting it on my own, that's a hefsik. Or do we assume, no, Shamei HaKohanim just means I'm being yotz in the mitzvah through Shmia alone? Then we had a machlokas, the Beis Halevi and the Chazanish. When we have a requirement of Kol Ram by Nesiyas Kapayim, when there's an outside requirement of Kol Ram, it's outside of the regular mitzvah of Amira, do we assume that there's a possibility of Shamei HaKohanim by such a mitzvah as well? Or do we say no, the only time that Shamei HaKohanim is applicable is when the mitzvah is only Amira Bilvad. That was a machlokas, the Beis Halevi and the Chazanish. That was the way the Chazanish explained the Beis Halevi. Now, with all that, we had major questions because the Chazanish asked, "What about Kiddush? What about Parshas Zachar? What about being what about the Mishnah Bikurim that says Beferish they're Mekayim the Mitzvah?" So the answer to all this is as follows: my father said that Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik explained in Shir that that's not at all what the Beis Halevi meant. I found now in the Chiddushei Hagriz on Maseches Sota that they say Briskerov said this from Rav Chaim as well, the same exact shot. So it could be Rav Soloveitchik heard it from his grandfather. But now it's documented from Reb Chaim that the whole thing was a mistake in the first place. Chazanish misunderstood the Beis Halevi. And really what the Beis Halevi meant was something entirely different. What's the reason, says the Beis Halevi, why one is not able to be Mekai in the midst of Nesiyas Kapayim by the venue of Shamei HaKohanim? So we misunderstood the Beis Halevi and we said that it means because he needs Kol Ram, because he has to scream out loud. Well, said Reb Chaim, Kol Ram over there doesn't mean screaming out loud. Kol Ram means that there has to be some sort of conversation between the Kohen and the Tzibur. It's along the lines of what you were saying. There has to be some relationship between my words and the Tzibur's acceptance of my words. That's what the Beis Halevi means. Which the Nafkamina, just simply, a Nafkamina lahalacha would be, if I'm in a small room, like this room, and I'm the Kohen, I'm duchening, do I have to scream out loud or can I just say it normally? Well, if you understand Kol Ram to mean like the Chazanish said, that it's screaming, well, you still got to scream. If Kol Ram just means you have to say it loud enough to make a conversation with somebody else, to have the tzibur listening and paying attention to what you're saying, if I'm in a small room, I don't have to scream. I just have to say it in a way that the tzibur can understand what I'm saying and relate to it. Well, if that's the case, says the Beis Halevi, Shomea Kohana will help, and Shomea Kohana won't only help in a case where I have a mitzvah Shabbat Amir, Shomea Kohana will also help in a case by Kiddush, let's say, where I have to make Kiddush on a cup of wine. We can carry over the Shomea Kohana with all the time that are necessary. By Parsha Zachar, I listen to the Bal Kore Lane. He's learning Mitoch HaKsav. I can carry that over to me, and I can be Mekayim the mitzvah on chastening alone. And it's as if I listen, and it's as if I listen from Aksav. By Kiddush, it's as if I made Kiddush with a cup of wine in my hand. By Mikra Bikurim, it's as if I said it B'Kol Ram. However, by Shomea Kohana, when it comes to Nesias Kapayim, over there is the exception to the rule. Why? Because it's as if I don't have a relationship with the Tzibur if somebody else is doing it on my behalf. That's the only place where the Beis HaLevi said, Shomea Kohana will not apply. And therefore, I think along the same lines, you can say, let's say by, we have a mitzvah of Kriyas HaPsukim by Yibum. Right? Has anyone ever attended a Chalitza? Is that? So if you ever see a chalitza, so there's a whole process, a procedure that has to be done. But part of the process is there has to be kriyas hapsukim. The yavam and the yavama both have to recite certain psukim. And we're very makbid on the kriyas hapsukim, that they do it carefully, they say it loud. Now what happens if you have a yavam or a yavama who cannot recite the psukim? So would you apply the principle of Shomea Kohana to such a scenario or not? Yes or no? So I thought that we should say no, because over there you have to say it to the Bezdin, or you have to say it to the yavama. It's not just that I have to say Kiddush out loud to God. It's I have to say the psukim in front of the Bezdin, or I have to say the psukim to the woman. In such a case, we can't apply the principle of Shomea Kohana. You can't say that by someone else reciting it for me, it's as if I had the conversation with you. What do you mean? I didn't talk to you. I didn't talk to the Bezdin. I didn't talk to the Isha. In that case, my father agreed with this point, that maybe when it comes to Kriyas HaPsukim, very important nafkamina la'alacha, we would not allow Shomea Kohana, which might be a problem in certain cases if a person can't speak. Okay. Are you saying how can an outsider do it anyway? How can an outsider do it anyway? He's not a Bar Chiyuva.
Can you point to Shliach?
Not sure. That's a good point. When I told this to my father-in-law, he's missing this year tonight, but when I told this over to my father-in-law, this whole vart about Nesias Kapayim, that the reason why the Beis HaLevi says that you can't say Shomea Kohana by Nesias Kapayim is because you can't have a relationship, so he added his own twist. Maybe it's because it says Levarach Hasam Yisrael Be'ava. I have to do with love. So it can't be considered like, I can't have someone else's love stooped into my Nesias Kapayim. What do you mean? Either I love the Tzibur or I don't love the Tzibur. I can't have someone else infuse that love for me. Okay, along the same lines of what we're saying the Beis HaLevi means, just L'Sabras Ozen, it's a more interesting way of saying it. Well, based on all this, it would seem that all would be in agreement that when we have a mitzvah that would carry over all the Prate HaMitzvah that have to do with the Amira, carry over to the person who's listening as well. Which would mean, when I have a mitzvah like Kriyas Parsha Zachar, and I'm listening and being Yotzei my mitzvah with the Bal Kore, not only is it as if I am listening and being Mekayim HaMitzvah, all the pratim of that kriya carry over to me. Therefore, it's as if I'm reading Mitoch HaKsav. Therefore, when I'm saying Kiddush, it's as if I'm holding a cup of wine. Therefore, when I'm saying Mikra Bikurim, it's as if I'm doing everything on my own. When it comes to an outside Tanai, like Kol Ram, then we don't apply the principle of Shomea Kohana, because there's an outside qualification that needs to be met. Is an outside thing that's necessary for me to be Mekayim HaMitzvah, and that cannot be transferred from somebody else to myself. Therefore, when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer, back to our Shaila. Again, we paskin that b'diyevet you can be Mekayim the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer al yidei Shomea Kohana. But must the Chola stand up or not? Well, seemingly yes, because that's an outside Tanai that's necessary for me to be Mekayim HaMitzvah. That's not the same as reading Mitoch HaKsav when I'm learning Parsha Zachar. It's not the same as holding a cup of wine while I'm saying Kiddush. That's that the individual himself has to stand. That's like Kol Ram. So for the Amira Shabo, I have to actually listen and pay attention, and he could be motzi me in that chiyuv. But for the standing, my father thought, he would have to stand on his own. Similarly, the Ritz Geyes writes, when I'm being Mekayim, my mitzvah of Shmona Esrei. Let's say I don't know how to daven Shmona Esrei. And I'm listening to the Chazan because he's being motzi me. Right? You have individuals like that. This is the reason why we originally instituted Chazaras HaShatz. because there were some people who didn't know how to daven. When I have that type of case and I'm actually being mekayem mitzvah, says the Ritz Geis, quoting other Gaonim, that the person who's paying attention has to not only stand up, he has to have his feet together in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz. Why? Because I'm being mekayem my mitzvah of Shemona Esrei. And you're right, I'm being mekayem through Shamei Kohen, but his feet together can't be like my feet together. His feet together are his feet together. My feet together are going to help for me to now transfer that Amira into my own tefillah Shemona Esrei, and they're going to make it as if I'm davening Shemona Esrei with my feet together. So therefore, we would assume over here in this Shaila Halacha Lamaisa, that the person who's listening Alidei Shamei Kohona would in fact have to stand up, and for that matter, if he's listening to Tkiya Shofar as well, he should stand up, because we know that by Shofar you have to stand.
He should stand up by Hulu on Kiddush Friday night.
Not by Hulu.
Everybody at the Yom Tov.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't be sitting at the table while the guy's saying by Hulu. You should stand.
By Hulu doesn't.
Oh, one second. By Hulu is not really a part of Kiddush. The Iker part of Kiddush.
You have to stand.
That's just for Eidus. Okay, yeah. If you want to be considered like one of the Eidim, you're right. If you want to be considered like one of the people who's being made Eidus, you should stand up as well. Exactly. Correct. He's Yotz B'Diyavid because we paskin that B'Diyavid even if you sit, even if a regular person sits right. When he's supposed to say Svir Samar, he's Yotz B'Diyavid. And by Shofar, the same thing. We assume B'Diyavid or Yotze. Well, if that's the case...
Would you be Yotze B'Kol Rod in the case of the Kohen? Is the external tonight different in the case of Kohuna? Versus this
is Kol Ram Ma'akev, you mean?
Yes, versus Khalid. So go back to Sukkah. Maybe there's a deal between the two, and maybe you aren't, and maybe it's not the same thing.
Again, you want to say, if Kol Ram is Ma'akev, so maybe we can't...
Sukkah, because there has to be a dialogue. Mm-hmm. This is a different kind of external versus this external. Plus, how do you know Yotze B'Diyavid?
And what about by standing by Shemona Esrei? We know you Yotze B'Diyavid if you sit by Shemona Esrei, so why does the Ritz Geis say that I have to stand with my feet together when I'm being Mekayim the Mitzvah of Shemona Esrei through Shemaya Kohen?
But do you?
Because it lacks kavana if you're not standing.
No, but you're
properly.
Saying not. You're
what do you mean? Personally, I have more kavana when I sit down quietly and I'm not on my feet. Let's say you have such a person. It's what to think about. I'm just putting this out there that there is a lot of talk about the sugya of Shemei Kohona. There is a lot of talk about what Rashi and Tosas actually meant, what the Beis Halevi and the Chazanish actually meant. With this, I hope we made a little clearer the whole sugya of Shemei Kohona, what exactly the issues really are, and when we could apply the principle of Shemei Kohona and when we cannot. Just a quick word on the parsha here.
The Beis Halevi had a situation where one year he completely blew one of the days of Sfira.
Right.
So how does it look for the Rav to stand up and not be able to count Sfira? So he asked one of his balabatim, he says, listen, I'm going to say the bracha, you don't. I'll be motzi you.
Right.
And then you'll count and I'll count.
Right, because he didn't want to be embarrassed.
Because he didn't want to be embarrassed.
Yeah.
It didn't look good for the kind of the Yitzhak for his members in Slutsk.
Yeah. Yeah, an interesting story.
It's documented.
Yeah, that's what they say. So here's just a quick vart on this week's parsha. Again, unfortunately, just to announce, this is the last year of the season. We'll have more opportunities. Don't worry, Rabbi Fonder's going away for a long time in the summer. So there will be plenty of opportunities to come and listen. Let's just see this part on the back from Rav Shamsham Fal Hirsch. Rav Shamsham Fal Hirsch says in his Sefer Ma'agalei Hashana as follows. To me this is very fascinating, this piece from Rav Shamsham Fal Hirsch. He goes into the mindset of the Sa'ir La'azazel. Very interesting thing to do. To go into the mindset of an animal and figure out what is he thinking at the time that he's being brought to be thrown off the cliff on Yom Kippur. Says Rav Shamsham Fal Hirsch as follows: Natar le'atzmenu, as shnei asayirim muvaim biyom haKippurim lebeis hamikdash. Let's imagine for a minute the scene of the two seirim brought to the Beis Hamikdash. Shneim shavim b'maret, as we know, both of them are exactly identical. B'koma b'damim, they cost the same amount. They look exactly the same. They're just as tall as each other. Ulekichas and ka'achas, we buy both of them at the same time. V'nei ba koin agadol, then we have the koin gadol comes along, Torah pekalfi, he makes a goral, amala bi yadu shnei goralos, al goral echad kosev la'ashem, al asheni kosev la'azazel. Goral zeh koveya asid shnei asirim. Now this is going to be koveya, this is going to determine the future of both of these animals. U'mikan ve'elach nefradus darkeim, from here on in, they part ways, this one goes la'ashem, that one goes la'azazel. Hasayir asher ala alav hagoral la'ashem ola l'karban. One of them goes and is shechted as a carbon. Shechted nosa b'kedusha v'tahara. Hadam ha'nigar mimenu, the dam that comes out, nesaf l'toch kli. Kohanim run and take the blood and catch it. U'muva l'toch kotche ha'kadoshim. Sham Mazanosa ben Abadim. He describes in great detail exactly how they deal with the blood, and they're going and they're makrevit in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Achakach Mazim and Adam Gamal HaParochas al Mizbach Hazov. Or Hasari Abasar Apirsham Nisrafim Be'esh Michutz Lamachna Makum Tar. Fine. Now, that first Sayer is Shechted. Wonderful. Lashem. Hasar Hasheni. Now you have the second animal. Eino Olo LeKarbon. Hu Yamar Chai. Ilu HaYisar Zeh Bal Machshav. Let's imagine that he's a little bit of Bar Seichel. He's a deep animal. Yitachin, it's conceivable, Shahayasameach Mo'od Al Shanafa B'chalko LeYisar Chai. He's probably very excited that he got the ticket that says Yamar Chai. My good old friend over here, we've been friends for years. We were brought together. We look exactly the same, identical twins. He was shechted, Nebuch. He died already. They tore him to pieces, burnt him up, spilled his blood in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But me, I'm a pretty lucky guy. He says, "V'lo li shachli sarv ilo hayisar ze orach hashva bein matzava lebein matzava re'eu hashachut." If he actually makes a comparison between his situation that he ended up in and the situation of his friend over here, the other animal, he's going to come to a feeling of very superior feelings, that he's above the other one. He really got to live. He's very excited. He would turn to his friend and laugh at him. Look, you're so unfortunate. Your life is terrible. You have no options in life. You were killed. I'm lucky. I'm running around. Hu amnam ola al mizbach hadash. Obviously, we all know as outsiders that the first one was not unfortunate. He had the great fortune of being brought on the mizbeach. Achiv das chayav ilu ani chay v'kayim. V'kasher hayu malichan osa le'ever haharim shemichutz liYerushalayim. And they're taking me on tours. They're taking me to museums. They're bringing me out to the beautiful lookouts of Yerushalayim. Look at this. And there's such a crowd of people coming to watch me, and they're putting this beautiful string around me. Look what's happening. Imagine what's going through his mind. Rega hasi b'hatzlachaso hayanechshav be'enav harega shabo hayamalamoso alatzuk. The height of his excitement is when they bring him finally to the Grand Canyon, bring him finally to the big place with a beautiful lookout, and he's looking over this and he says, "Wow, I feel so terrible for my dear friend, the other animal, who just lost his life. Look what he could have had in life. Look at this. He can come on all these trips and tours, and he can get ribbons, and he can have people running after him and people following him." With a lot of arrogance, he stands there on top of the mountain. It's understood from itself. She'ilu yada hasaris hasiba hamitis madua huva latzuk hazeh. If he understood why he's really here, v'ilu hayachasus hashet zafri lo toks man katzah biyoser. If he actually understood what was about to transpire in just a few minutes, lo hayin nitvas lemachshav aselu. He wouldn't be thinking this way. Ashli yotav etchushas atzlacha amaduma. He's convincing himself of a fake reality. Misnatzos besofa advar alei sela. Techifa kala. They just push him over just a little bit. Over the cliff, over the Grand Canyon, La'evir ha'madron hatalon meretekes aseivarov. All of a sudden, he has the most painful death. It's brutal. Every bone in his body is broken, and as he's tumbling down the rocks, and he ultimately dies. But it's a painful death. It's not as nice as his friend. Hey, mispazun the chalever. He's spread out all over the place. His body is just totally in pieces. Az yadua hakol mihu amusher amiti. And then it becomes clear and evident who's the lucky one in life. Who's the rich one? And who is the faker? Who is the false one? Who was just convincing himself that life was greater than it actually was? Tir zeh yachalios bitoy le'inin habachir chapshus. Says Reb Shamshon Fal Hirsch, this can be carried over into our own lives. Shtei durachim shavas psuchas b'fnei kol echad miYisrael. There are two ways a person can live his life. Haderach ha'achas yiderach ha'torah ba'amitzvos. Hi movilas ha'ochem ba'miskarevas osam alachai. Haderach ha'shnia hi darkam shalelu. Every night they're going doing something else that's more terrible than the next, and they're never ever actually keeping stock of themselves and watching whether or not they're following the Torah and the mitzvahs. So this person who's running around and not keeping stock of his own life looks back at the Talmud Chacham, looks back at the observant Jew, and he says, what an unfortunate situation. He's putting himself on the altar of God. He's putting himself in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He's leading his whole lifestyle as one of Kedusha V'Tahara, as one of Torah Mitzvahs. It's very unfortunate. And he, this person who's not running his life in that way, continues to look at himself as the one who's fortunate, as the one who's living an amazing lifestyle, who's going through all the mountains, who's being brought on all the tours, who's having people following him, who's very arrogant, who has a lot going on with his life. But bottom line, who is the mushar b'chayim? Says Rav Shamsham Fal Hirsch, if you take one step back and you look at it in the end of life, you look at the perspective with all of life in that perspective, says Rav Shamsham Fal Hirsch, we all know good and well deep down who is the real mushar b'chayim and who lost out in his own life. So Rav Shamsham Fal Hirsch says we can possibly learn this from just thinking of the mindset that might be going through the mind of a Sar La'azazel and understanding how to put life in the proper perspective when thinking about the two Seirim that are brought on Yom HaKippur. Wish everyone a wonderful evening.